This is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice and be glad.
Excellent. Thank you. Someone over there, very strong and loud. Thank you. I appreciate that always coming through. Someone sent that to me this week, and I appreciate that when I get sent that in a text to remind me also as well. Well, we're talking about spiritual battles, and we're talking about insights that the Bible has for us. We're talking about lessons that we can learn from the Bible. We're talking about being prepared, and we're talking about what's in our battle gear. What do we need to have? You know, I know of a guy that had a horrible motorcycle accident, and he wasn't wearing a helmet, and there was a possibility that he would not survive. I was very disappointed the other day when I heard that he was skipping his therapy. He survived, and he's skipping not only his therapy, but he's still refusing to wear a helmet. And I just think, you know, I get that that's a choice. It's a choice whether you want to use your protection or not, guys. Okay, we've got to be sure that we're bringing the Bible and we're knowledgeable about this. And that doesn't stop my prayers for this individual. But man, I pray that God gives him some wisdom to wear a helmet. Finish that therapy so you can be fully able to jump back in battle and be ready for anything that the Lord has coming against you. Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Exodus. Exodus chapter 12 is where we'll begin today. And as we prepare for battle, there's a lot of things we have to do. And one of the first things we need to do is prepare through prayer. We need to be prayed up, and on Wednesday nights we're discussing, started last week discussing prayer and being ready for spiritual battle and doing spiritual warfare. So, with that in mind, I know we just prayed once over our music at the end of that and before that, and I know we prayed over our offering. Let's pray over our sermon today. I don't think you can pray too much. Some may think you can, but let's pray again, all right? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just ask you today just to bless the listener today. Lord, bless me as I just speak your words from the lesson out of Exodus and Moses and what the people learned and what we can learn from that and how we can apply that to our life. Lord, where we have spiritual earmuffs on, would you remove those so that we can hear this, so that we can be better prepared for ourselves, for our families, for others, for strangers, Lord. For those of us that are involved in intercessory prayer, Lord, that we would be prepared to do battle for them as well. Lord, bless us today as we hear the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as we do battles, those battles are very personal to us. They're group battles. You know, a lot of times we're facing a battle as an individual. We're facing a battle as a group. It could be a Sunday school class. It could be a worship team. It could be a prayer group. It could be a church. It could be a greater thing. It could be a denomination. It could be just individuals out there. So, there's all kinds of battles, and we have to be prepared to do battle for ourselves and for others. And we talked last week a little bit about Nehemiah and how the people had to have, they were working with one hand and had their other hand on a weapon. And they were always at the ready, and we have to be ready when those things come against us. Personal battles that we have to be prepared for could be finances, could be relationships, depression, illness, disease. It could be we're fighting battles that aren't ours to fight. Church, we have to be ready for those. We have to be ready for battles that other people are fighting, possibly for us, that's not their battle. And we have to be ready when we're trying to jump in someone else's battle, and it's not our battle to fight. It may be our concern that is not the same thing as our battle to fight. So we have to be conscious and listen to God when He speaks to us. And when he talks to us, and we're going to see an example of that here in Exodus as we read that. But there's a lot of things going on with our finances and communication and relationships and work and school and friendships. We have to be ready. If we show up unfit, you know, you don't want someone showing up that's drunk. You don't want someone showing up that has to run a long distance and they're not fit for the run. We have to be prepared for so many different things in battle. And that means something different for each one of us. Where we are mentally to prepare for battle, or physically, or emotionally, it's different for every one of us. It may be different for grown-ups compared to our younger folks that are generally seated back there. It may be different, but their battle that they're facing in their schools and in their friendships is different than the battles we may be facing.
Oh, I've been through school and friendships and all this. I've been married for 20, 30, 40 years, whatever. I've passed that stuff. So our battles are different. But our preparation should be the same and should have the same outcome, that we're still ready to do battle and we know when to call on Him to help us out. In Exodus chapter 12, and man, there's a lot of places we can go in this, and we're going to skip it through a lot of this stuff. But we have to realize that the Israelites have been in Egypt, and they've been there for hundreds of years, and they were there because of their disobedience to God. And Moses said, I want the Israelites freed, and I want to get out of here. And Pharaoh said, nope, not happening. So God started sending plagues down there. And let's read in Exodus chapter 12, let's start in verse 31. And it says, during the night Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go, worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flock and herds as you have said, and go. But listen to what he said at the end of that. He said, and also bless me. Pharaoh had been subjected to these plagues as well, and seeing his people and his land destroyed by these plagues, said, get out of here. Finally, I will release you. You have requested to leave. Get out of here. Take everyone with you, but bless me as well. The Egyptians urged the people to hurry up and leave the country. Not only was it not enough to get out of here, but by the way, get out of here with great haste. Get moving. For otherwise, they said, we will all die. So the people took their dough before the yeast was added and carried it on the shoulders in kneading troughs wrapped in clothing. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people, and they gave them what they asked for, so they plundered the Egyptians. Can you imagine them saying, get out of here? And he said, okay, we're leaving. By the way, could you give us some gold and some silver and some of your stuff? Give us some clothes. Give us some stuff for the road, would you? And they did it. First things first, sometimes going into battle or leaving a battle may not be your decision. It may be someone else telling you, get out of here, get out of the battle, or go into the battle. Now, he had requested freedom from that. Again, hundreds of years they'd been enslaved to the Egyptians. And there were hundreds of thousands of them. How did the Egyptians get things done? Through the Israelites. Go make us some brick, go move this, go do this. And the scriptures covering that and how they dealt with them as well. And it said, get out of here. In verse 37, it says, the Israelites journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. There were about 600,000 men on foot. 600,000 men. I like how it says there were about that many. Besides women and children, though. And then verse 38 says, many other people went up with them, and also large droves of livestock, both flocks and herds. And they took a lot of things. God may send you as an individual. He may send you as a group. He may send you as part of another group. He sent the Israelites out, and he said, you guys go, men, women, children. Great. And then it says in verse 38, many others went up with them. There was a reason others went up with them. So God may tell you, go this battle alone. He may tell you, lead this battle. And he may say, go with them into battle. We have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit so we can hear what the Holy Spirit is telling us what to do, when to go and when not to go. And remember last week, we talked about Gideon. He said, whoa, that's too many people. They got rid of some people. All those afraid leave. They left. He said, it's still too many. Separate them by this. Got down to 300 men. Yeah, that'll do. I know he had tens of thousands, but 300, that'll do. That's all I need to accomplish my task. But remember, in the midst of that, as they have him and they're waiting, they had to wait for his direction. And then God said, okay, boom. It's time to go down there. And if you're not sure, go down to the camp and listen to what they say. Remember from last week. So we could be in the middle of a plan and a strategy, and God hasn't revealed it all to us. Some of you today may think, God, I'm here and I'm ready. Would you please just give me the plan? And He will. When? In His timing. And that's hard for us to sit and accept. And it's hard for us to sit and wait for. Because, God, I want the answer now. God, I can wait for the answer. I just want the plan now. We'll see another example here when He gives it in His time. When He feels like it. So you may be one of the people He sends as a group. Or you may be, and many others went with Him. And we've got to remember those things. Now, as the others went out, and they took their livestock, and they took the bread without any of the yeast for it. And it says in verse 40, now the length of time the Israelites lived in Egypt was 430 years. That's a long time to be there. I know some of you are tired from the battle. And you've been there a long time. And some of you have been there a short time and say, God, why this battle? I went all this time with no problems. Why this battle now? And be careful, by the way, when you ask why, God may answer you why. Because I can imagine the Israelites saying, God, why did you have me in captivity all this time? Ooh, do I need to remind you? It's from your disobedience. Lord, it's been 430 years. I'm sorry. The disobedience of your people. Oh, great. Now I'm attached to the group. And they got me in trouble. So the battle that you're fighting today may be a battle that you're waging for generations to come. We stand firm as a church body. Why? So that this church can be here tomorrow. So that His church can be here for our young people. But not just those young people in the back row over there. You young people too. I'm trying to save myself here. But it's for the young people that are down in class right now. Oh. And for the young ones that are in the nursery right now. Well, that's just a few years. That's not 430. Not today. Think about generations of your relatives and the battles they fought. The battle may be long. And you may not see the victory today. But you will see the victory in the end. Now as we move on to Exodus chapter 13. I want you to listen to this in verse 17 of chapter 13. And this is a familiar story to those of us that know the Israelites as they're leaving. And it says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country. Though that was shorter. God doesn't need MapQuest and Google Maps and all that stuff. He knows the shortest route. Again, we have to be careful when we ask God, why would you do this? When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. Why, God? Why? God said, if they face war, they may return. Sometimes He takes us a different route because if we come up against a battle that we think, God, this is going to be quicker. Yes, but you're going to face a battle there and you're not ready for it. And because you're not ready for it, you may return to the place where you came from. And that's no good. I'm trying to bring you out of that, and you have to trust me, he says. If they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Now, as we look at this, we have to understand God is not always going to give us the quickest place. And we have to ask, when God takes us through things, we have to ask Him, is it easy or was it easy? The answer, maybe no. No. God, I can give you a list that will fill notebooks of how and areas that it was not easy for me to go through. But the second question you have to ask yourself, is it worth it or was it worth it? Now, where were the Israelites heading? The promised land, right? Okay, great. Get in the car, we're going to Disneyland. Woo! Lord, why did you take me this way? We went up through Montana and then back down to Arizona. And why? It's not the shortest way. I know, but I wanted to show you some different things. I can think when we went on vacations, we seemed to always head to the West Coast from Iowa, where I grew up. We went to Disneyland and Grand Canyon and that stuff. Half our vacations were spent with us doing this. So when will the car be fixed? When can we get going again? We're on the side of the road. Do we have a good spare this time? There's pictures of us in our little Mexican outfits with little marionettes standing next to my dad who's sweating. I'm sure he thought great sweat drops like blood. Jacking up the cars, we're all playing around, goofing around like we're having a little three-ring circus. And we think, ah, man, what are we doing? Doesn't sound like a vacation to me. God, why? God, you had a quicker path for me. God, you had a quicker path for the congregation to get there. They found healing. They found healing in their heart, healing in their body. Why did they have to go through that, Lord? You didn't take them on the shortest path. Well, because I knew they may not be able to handle it. And when I finally called them to be ready for that, I needed to know that they wouldn't return to where they were. And then as we look down just a little further, it says in verse 19, it says, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because he swore an oath to the Israelites that you must carry my bones up from the place that you leave. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. Now listen to this in verse 21. It says, by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar and cloud, in a pillar of cloud, sorry, to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. Why? So that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. When you're on your journey, you have to know what God's sign is for you. You have to listen to what He tells you and look for it. Because day or night, He will be there guiding you. Well, I was following this pillar of cloud, But then I saw this other cloud, and it looked like a heart. So I started looking at it, and I started following that. And then this one looked like an airplane, so I started following that cloud. And all of a sudden, we're distracted on what we're following. I'll give you a pillar of fire at night. Well, I saw that, and then I saw something blink off to the side, and I started following that, and then I caught it. It was a little firefly. Look. We took our eyes off the sign. And then we look up and say, oh my goodness, where are we? How did we get here? I swear I was following a light, but how did my eyes get off that light? I swear I was following a cloud, but how did my eyes get off that cloud? It's very specific. Well, I looked away for just a minute. Just a minute, I looked away. God will be with you in your journey day and night. Now we'll read in just a minute here, but 40 years they marched around. 40 years they marched around. Can you imagine? Pharaoh, those people go, God did not lead them on the shortest route. 40 years. Now I'm sure many of us would be going, are you sure we're in the right place? Are you sure we're following the right leader? By the way, this is about followers and this is about leaders. This is about Eric and I as well. Because we've got to be sure we're in tune with God and His direction. And then you guys, I remember, I don't know how many years ago, 6.5 years ago. When our founding pastor left in my first Sunday, and I've mentioned this a few times, and I thought, oh my gosh, we have this great task ahead of us. And I thought, oh no. Where I was selfishly looking, the congregation had the task of having to listen to the voice of new shepherds because they had heard the voice of their shepherd leading their church, and now it was a new voice. New voices. So we have to be in tune as well. Chapter 14. We're going to skip down through here real quick. Verse 21 of Exodus 14. It says, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. Then if we go down to verse 26, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and their horsemen. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing towards it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen and the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. Now, can you imagine a hesitation on the part of Moses? Remember, we talked when God commands, we've got to act to that. Jonah needed to go this way. This way? Yes, this way. Okay. He went the other way. Look what happened. Moses, I need you to stretch out your hand. Oh, by the way, I need you to do it now. Why? We're just standing here. Lord, how do we get across this thing? Do it now. They can cross. Got to the other side. Said, do it now. Again. Did it, and the walls came down. Not one survived. The sea was divided and it closed up. You know, when the Israelites thought it was over, they stood there and they knew that the Egyptians were coming behind them. They thought it was over. Whew, this battle looks pretty dismal. But then the Lord said, I'm going to fight for you. Let's jump back in chapter 14, verse 10. And it says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up. And there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified. And they called out to the Lord. Can you imagine looking back? They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you, leave us alone? Leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. We just read, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though it was shorter. Why? If they faced war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Good grief, they're just a little ways away. And they turn around and see him and go, oh gosh, why didn't you just leave us back there? God said, man, you're just beginning the battle. Don't start asking, are we there yet? We just started. But Moses, in verse 13 of chapter 14, Moses answered the people, and listen to what he said. First and foremost, he said, do not be afraid. As we face our battles, we may face them with fear. But know that the Lord does not want us facing our battles with fear. Moses said, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. Church, sometimes it's a matter of faith. Stand firm. Look around. And see the deliverance that the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. In verse 14, he said, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Don't be afraid. Stand firm. Be still. Oh, he's got one more thing he added after that, though. Verse 15. He says, and the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. When you've done that, you stood firm, you weren't afraid, you were still. Then there's a point he says, time to get moving. Now move on. And tell them to move on. And that's when they went to the river and they faced that. And I know that was hard for them to do. But Moses said from the Lord, he said, hey, don't be afraid. He's going to fight this battle for you. Know that when you face the battle, you're not facing it alone. You may go in alone, but you are not alone. The Lord is there. He's with you day and night. He sends the pillar of fire, and he sends also the pillar of cloud, so that he's with you day and night, guiding you. Remember, if that cloud wasn't moving, they weren't moving. If that cloud moved this way, they did not go that way. If that fire went that way, they did not go that way. Lord, sometimes we will sit and wait for your direction. I don't know about Eric, but that's a scary place to be as a leader. God, I'm waiting on your direction. People are looking to us. Could you, hurry up and give us a direction on this? He may not have revealed it yet. I tell you this, he's revealed this. Preach out of this and you won't go wrong. Don't need to add your stuff. I told you guys a couple Wednesdays ago, the Lord has freed me from some of that stuff in 2019. Said, you don't need to worry about this. Preach this, I'll take care of the rest. Amen. Now, let's flip over Exodus chapter 32. I know that's a big jump, but we've only got another hour here today, so I'm just kidding. We're near the end of today's message. Amen. Chapter 32, verse 9 of Exodus. Moses had gone up. The Lord had called him up in the mountain, and he gave certain direction and instruction. Verse 9, it says, I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them. Why, Lord? So that I might destroy them, he says. Then I will make you into a great nation. But Moses, being the leader he is, he sought favor of the Lord, his God, and he said in verse 11, Lord, why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, it was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people, Lord. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self. And you said, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. Whew. Thank you, Moses. The people had no idea. As you're standing there, possibly in battle, or possibly not in battle, just in leisure, you may have no idea of what's coming your way. And because of intercessory prayer and those praying against evil, the Lord has protected you unbeknownst to you. Now verse 11 through 14 says, Moses prayed and he pleaded with the Lord for that and pleaded for that. Our sin can prolong our victory. We're all looking for victory, but the longer we remain in sin, the longer it is till we see our complete victory. We may see victories, but our complete victory. So we've got to be out of that. Now, verse 17 through 26, it says, when Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, there is a sound of war in the camp. Oh, no. Church, there's war in the camp. Universally. Moses said, it's not the sound of victory. It is not the sound of defeat. It is the sound of singing that I hear. When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. These were the Ten Commandments, the tablets he had brought down. And he took the calf they had made and burned it in the fire. Then he ground it into powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. Ooh. And he looked to Aaron and said, what did these people do to you? What did these people do to you that you led them into such great sin? Aaron, you led them into sin. And Aaron said, do not be angry, my Lord. You know how prone these people are to evil. It's their way. They said to me, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. He has been gone a while. And so they thought, we haven't seen this dude in a while. Just bring us this God that we can send up before us. So Aaron said, I told them, whoever has any gold jewelry, take it off. Then they gave me the gold, and I threw it in the fire. And out came this calf. holy cow, that's what happened. Moses, I didn't mean anything by it. Lord, I didn't mean anything. I just saw him do this and holy cow, here came the golden calf. I threw it into the fire and out came this calf. And Moses saw that the people were running wild and that Aaron had let them get out of control and so become a laughingstock to who? To their enemies. When we are a laughingstock to our enemies, that's not a healthy place to be, and that's not a battle we're going to win more than likely. So he stood at the entrance to the camp and he said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And all the Levites rallied to him. Sometimes the battle is within the group. Like I said earlier, it could be this church, the church, denominations. The battle could be within the group. And every now and then, a leader must arise and say, "It's time to regroup. We've lost focus. All those that are with me, let's go." And all the Levites rallied to him. He didn't say all who are with me. He said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." You know, as the band comes up, we're going to sing a song again. We sang it earlier today. We had some beautiful songs today. Songs of victory and songs of the Lord being there for us and providing for us. And I think so many times God calls his people and again he sends out his cloud and his fire and he says, "Follow this." Man, I'm sorry, Lord. I was distracted just for a moment. And now I'm lost and I'm wandering. But as we read, he said, "Don't be afraid." When we face our battles, we have to learn how to put fear behind us. We may be fearful. We've got to learn how to put it behind us. Because if fear is leading us, we will not be victorious. Faith has to lead us. You know, sometimes the hardest struggles that we have to face and the hardest struggles we go through, no matter what they are, they have the greatest potential to teach us patience and endurance. And patience and endurance is what we need in battle. We need to be sure that we're ready for it, we're prepared for it. Because we may have teammates that rely on us to pick them up and carry them on. Remember today, as you face your battles, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still and listen to His calling. Stand and worship with us this morning.
Amen. Have a blessed and amazing week. Prepare for battle. Be ready. Be still and listen to His voice. If you're a visitor with us today, I'd like to meet you right down here for a moment. Have a blessed week.